Om Shanti. For today's session on harmony in relationship, we have amongst us Brahma Kumari Asmita Ben. She has been in this knowledge since her childhood, that's since 1977. Initially, she worked as a high school teacher in Fiji Islands before dedicating fully as a dedicated teacher in 1988. Presently, she is serving in the Brahma Kumari's Meditation Center at Kolkata. She is a part of the team that facilitates BK self-development programs in the eastern zone of the Brahma Kumari centers. She has special interest in exploring creative meditation techniques for healing and music for silence. And last but not the least, several of the songs that you hear is been sung by her. She's got a very beautiful voice and she's a very good singer. Over to Asmita sister.
Today I've been asked to share few insights and ideas and experiences about a very beautiful topic, harmony in relationships. I just wanted to ask you, have you heard of the two people, the two partners who actually symbolize perfect harmony in relationships? They are partners who constantly live together, work together, wake up together, sleep together, do everything together. Have you heard of them? And yet, they never ever see each other. They've never seen each other, our eyes. No? It's wonderful how the two eyes are working together constantly and in perfectly complementing each other's work. One is not complete without the other. And yet, physically, one eye has never seen the other eye. So, that just gives us a very beautiful clue of what harmony in relationships actually means. It's not physically seeing each other. It is actually seeing in the same direction. Seeing with the same attitude. Seeing with the same perception. And so, taking this clue, let us start today's program with a very simple game, just to, you know, get back into our active self after a restful afternoon. I just ask you to let the person sitting next to you be your partner for this game. So, does everyone have a partner? You don't have a partner, you need someone. You can ask that brother to be your partner. Yes? You already have by default. Yes. But anyone who doesn't have can go along and sit with someone who doesn't have a partner. You don't have a partner as yet. There's someone sitting at the back. There's someone here. You sitting alone, brother? No, at the back there. You can come up here. So now, does everybody have a partner? Yeah, please come up here ahead. Everyone has a partner? Do you know each other? You know each other? You know your partner? Yes, you do? Okay. Between the two of you, you have to decide who is the stronger one. Between the two of you, you decide who is more strong. Based on whatever. Okay. So have you decided who is stronger? Quick decision. Good, huh? Well, let the stronger one hold his fist very, very tight. And the other one has to try and open the fist. Your strength is going to be tested. Your strength is going to be tested. Let the stronger one hold his fist tightly, close the fist. And the other one, who is less strong, is going to try and open it. Okay, go on. I'll just give you 1 minute to do it, but hurry up. After you finish opening, you can stand up in your place, so I know you've done it. Finished? Please stand up. Those of you who have finished opening the fist, stand up. Okay. Very good. Try. Rest of you, try. He has opened. So, okay. You're still trying? Okay. You're still trying? So, everybody succeeded. Very good. You opened? Opened? Okay. So, how did you open it? By force. Okay. He asked you to open it and you opened it. Very good. Please sit down. Yes, how did you open? Oh, you opened with your willpower. So you were stronger actually. Stronger will. And how else? How did you open? By force? Yes? You just allowed him to open. Okay. Who requested? You requested him and he opened. Okay. Anyone who had difficulty opening? I think you used force, right? Little bit force was enough to open it. Okay. So, this fist actually represents our heart. You know, our heart is just the size of our fist. How easy it is to open somebody's heart. How easy. You just request and they're ready to open it. Most of the time you don't need to require any force. In fact, force makes it difficult to open this fist. It's much easier if you use a softer way, if you use a quieter way, if you use your inner will to open somebody's heart. So, what is exactly happening in today's world? This is known as the great paradox. On one hand, we have become very hi-fi. Our communication is wireless. Our telephones are cordless. Our cooking is fireless. Our food is fatless. Very good. But on the other hand, our attitude, becoming careless, our feelings loveless, arguments baseless, and conduct is worthless. So this is the great paradox, that in a world which is so well connected with the best kind of communication that ever was, we have today. All the means of communication are there, and yet, are people really communicating? Are there bridges or are there more barriers? Sometimes we find that these means of communication are actually adding to the distances which is there between hearts. Because the moment something comes to your heart, you can just, you know, let it out, let the steam out. Just pick up your mobile and go blah, 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 and you've broken a heart. You have increased the distance between another person, you know. You have actually broken a good relationship. And then you may repent later, but then it becomes very difficult to stitch it up, to bind it up together. And so there are endless complaints about people not having enough time. They are getting so busy, not having enough time to have good relationships, to build quality relationships, especially if the families are suffering. We have heard endless stories like this one. I'm sure you've heard the story about the little child trying to buy some of his father's time, who was unable to give him time. I won't go. So, relationships are so important to us. In fact, we can never be island. We are always interdependent. We're dependent on not only people. We have a relationship with our own body, our own self, with nature, with our environment, with our work. There are relationships which need to be harmonized and balanced everywhere. And so, In fact, all the happiness and the peace and the quality of life that we are experiencing is actually dependent on the quality of relationships we are maintaining. If you just think deeply over this, it's very clear that nothing in this world makes us happy or makes us sad as other human beings. Do you agree with me? A human being can make another human being happy, and a human being can make another human being very sorrowful. Nothing else. Everything else may collapse. But if human beings are there to hold on, to help, to care, to support, everything can be set right once again. And so, relationships are so valuable. In fact, I heard a beautiful thing about relationships. It says that holding a good relationship is like holding sand in your hand. How would you lift sand in your hand? Maximum amount of sand if you want to hold. How do you hold? Like this? Yeah, like this? Closing? Like this? No, huh? Yes, okay. So, it's open and yet it is closed. If it is too loose, all the sand will slip through. If it is too tight, again, the sand is going to slip out. So if you want to hold maximum amount of sand in your hand, you have to keep it like this. So this symbolizes caring, respect, openness, and yet very deep, closed care. So if in a relationship I'm trying to possess somebody or something, if I'm trying to hold on too tightly to something, if there is attachment, it's quite likely that the relationship is not going to last very long. It's not going to be a very pleasant one. I don't get much out of it. If I let it too loose, there is no communication, no interaction, no exchange. Again, relationship dwindles away, falters down. So, life is relationships. But again, there's a big paradox. Think about it deeply. When you are happy, let's start with when you are sad, who do you take out your sorrow on? Those who are closest to you. Again, a big paradox. We want to give them happiness. We want them to be happy. And yet, when we are not happy, we tend to let out all that sorrow on those who are closest to us. We never try to expose or show our sorrow to those who don't know us, or those who are distant. We don't. I remember one young girl told me that I'd ask the question, who do you get most angry on? And that young lady, she told me that I get most angry on my mother. I said, why? Doesn't your mother love you? Oh, she loves me so much. She loves me dearly. And I love her very much too. But I don't know why, when I'm angry, I let out all my anger on my mother. Surprising, isn't it? Why we do it, but we do it. And so, even for the sake of our good relations, for the sake of our loved ones, it is important that I take care of my own inner self. I take care of the way I feel, my own inner balance. Because if I am tense, I am going to make them tense, whether I want it or not. If I am full of sorrow, I am going to give it to them, whether I like it or not. Surely there is going to be transfer, because relationship is a transfer, it's an exchange. Not just of words, not just of things. It is an exchange and transfer of energy. And that is relationship. Energy. Energy could be positive. Energy can be very negative. Sometimes people who are exchanging negative energy also are in very deep relationships. Very close relationships. But they're actually exchanging very negative energy. And so, if you just look at the importance of human relationships, whether whether it is at work. A lot of things we know that happen at work. At home everybody knows. But at work, if there are bad relationships, one thing is for sure, that you cannot motivate people. You cannot command respect. You cannot work with people. People who are not happy are not very good workers, do you believe? Do you agree with me? People who are not happy. Happy people are easier to lead. Happy and satisfied people are easier to work with. And so, harmony in relationships leads to peace and happiness and development. Just as during peace times, a country can develop most. In the same way, when we are at peace with ourselves and with the people around us, most development takes place. Relationships enhance security, the feelings of personal security, power, happiness, through pure energy of love. Love is very empowering. And it is the best way to motivate people. I remember, initially when I came to Mount Abu for the first time, I was most struck by our dadis, of course. But I will tell you, I was most inspired by one brother who was busy mopping the kitchen floor. Nobody was watching him do it. Nobody was telling him how to do it. But his face was radiating so much happiness and so much love and so much satisfaction. He was busily mopping, not watching anybody, not caring about anything else. So, I asked that brother, "Brother, you're working so hard, don't you feel tired?" And when I talked to him, I found out he was quite well educated. So I asked him, "Don't you sometimes think, what am I doing here, mopping floors?" So he said, "Sister, do you know why I'm here? Why I am full-time giving seva in this place?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm doing seva here because I feel that in this environment, I develop myself spiritually like nowhere else. And because of this feeling of development, because of this feeling of very good support that I get for development, I'm ready to do anything and I'm happy to do everything." So, he was so motivated just because he felt that he was spiritually uplifting in that environment. And so, importance we all know, but one very important aspect of relationships is, you know, the relationship is the only ship in this world which has more than one captain. It has more than one captain. Just imagine, two captains on one ship, what will happen? Yes? There'll be clash. Okay, two captains on one ship. Both of them agreeing to go in the same direction, very good. But what happens if both of them wanting to go in different directions? Then there is a problem. So here, you know, those laws of vectors are very, they apply very well here. That in a relationship, there are two people who are equally responsible. There are so many times we tend to say, "Oh, I am very good. I want to have a good relationship with so and so. But he does not cooperate. He is like this. He's got so much ego. He is so selfish. He is so and so. He is not working properly, not doing this properly." No, we tend to blame. "I want to have good relationship, but he is not like this. He is a very negative person, very angry person, very uncooperative, right? So that is my relationship with that person." So this says, the other person is only one half of the relationship. The other half is who? It is I. And what is most important is that half I cannot control. But this half, I have full control on. So if I try and control this half, which I can control, which is within my reach, then there are better chances of being able to control the other half, which is not yet within my reach. So that is the principle, that if I want to improve any relationship, where do I start? I start with myself. Stop looking at others. Harmony in relationships does not mean that everyone is so good and everybody is so perfect and always ready to cooperate and so patient. Everybody is nice. Then there is harmony. Well, what is so surprising about that? But harmony in relationships can be initiated by one person. One single person. And that one single person has to be I, myself. Instead of waiting for another person to do it, I have to do it. Because this is the only half of the relationship which I can control. And so, the best step where you can start is simply understanding. Understand yourself, and that will make it very easy to understand the other. And where there is understanding, of course, relationship is going to improve. Understanding makes a world of a difference when you know why a person is behaving in a certain way. You understand, you forgive, you are ready to help. And relationships, for sure, are a reflection. The kind of relationships you are having in your life, if you want to know who you are, what kind of a person you are, you just need to look at your relationships and they will tell you. Think about this. Your relationships are reflecting who you are. You know, they say that a man is known by the books he reads and the company he keeps. We have heard? Man is known by the books he reads and the company he keeps. If I say, I'm very good, oh my friends, oh my relations, oh my so-and-so, they are not good, but I'm very good. It's not possible. It's not possible. Okay. When I say, I hate you, so-and-so, I'm not pointing to any one of you. Say, I'm pointing to somebody and saying, oh, I hate you. Does that tell you something about me? You hear me saying that, I hate so and so. So you know something about me now? What? Yes. If I'm saying I hate you, it just tells the other persons who are listening or who are watching me that I am a person full of hate. I have hatred in me. Yes? I love you. I'm a person full of love. I care for you. I'm a caring person. Yes? So, how I feel towards others actually reflects on what I am, truly. So, if I am positive, how am I going to feel about others? I'm going to feel positive. No matter what they are doing, I'm going to definitely feel positive about them. Because I am full of that positive nature. Now let us understand something more about the self. I believe you have been through meditation classes in the morning. Yes. So you know that the self, the true self, is so full of positivity. You've heard about this? That all of us are originally positive. Trying to be positive. No, you are positive, but you are trying to get back to that. Right? It's not that you are trying to become something that you are not. It is like there is a diamond which is freshly being excavated. You know how it looks like? Any ordinary stone. So how do you make it beautiful? You don't paint it. Yes, you remove all that dirt which is covering that diamond, and it's there. So we are like those crude diamonds, all of us. The only problem is that no one else is going to try and polish us. I have to do. Yes. You know, sometimes when stones, they roll along the river bed, they are polished by themselves. So sometimes the conflict and all those frictions that we experience in life, they help to polish us. But somewhere the initiative of polishing yourself has to be taken by yourself, because the doors of change, they say, are locked from within. The doors of change are locked from within. Others can only knock at your door, but the only one who can open is the self. And so, if you look at your own self, if I want to bring any change in my relationships, first I have to be able to take care of my own mood, my own state of mind. But before that, we remember our meditation lessons and we remember who we are truly. What is our true identity? It's like this little iceberg which is shown here. You know, at the center, at the very core, that there lies our innate self, who we are originally. And on top of that core, so many layers of different experiences have added on. And so, you can see how, you know, that in the middle they have shown how we were when we came into this world. When you came to this world, were you positive or were you negative? Yeah, you came in crying. Well, that was only physically. But just tell me, as a being, when you were born, did you have anger? Huh? Did you have prejudice? Did you? Okay, nothing. No. You were not nothing. Did you have love? Does a baby have love? Is a baby happy? So you can't say you have nothing. Huh? Originally, you can't say you have nothing. I'll show you something. It's so easy to see what you are when you came to this world. So do you need expensive toys to make a child happy? That is what we were like. Were you like that? Yes? Each one of us, we were peaceful, we were happy, we were full of joy. And somewhere on the way, that inner being has got, it's become hidden under so many layers of experiences. Experiences that we have gathered during childhood, during youth, after getting married, after getting jobs, after getting so many responsibilities, roles, so many routines, so many factors have added on, and somewhere that what we have within the core, that peace, that love, that happiness, that joy, that spontaneity, that has got hidden. It is not finished. The good news, it's not finished. Sometimes it surfaces. Sometimes. Sometimes we feel happy for no reason. Sometimes we feel peaceful for no reason. But the problem is that only happens sometimes. The other times we have to go to laughing clubs to remember how to laugh. Then there are times where we have to go to learn pranayama. We've forgotten how to breathe also, you know. We've forgotten how to breathe. The most natural things in life we have, you know, come so far away from. And so, if we look at our innate or our inner self, we have these IQs and AQs. IQs talk about our innate qualities and AQs are the acquired. What we have acquired are some things are very good, definitely, but some things are not so good. But what is innate within us is all perfect, so pure, so loving, so happy, so full of joy. So, if we use this knowledge and this understanding and experience of our own inner being, it becomes very easy to see the same in the other person. Okay, you are still sitting next to your partner or have you moved away? Okay, there is another small thing that you can try. I'll give you just 1 minute's time. One of you has to tell some very nice experience to your partner. One memorable experience of your life. Something that has inspired you. Something that has inspired you. Something that you like to remember in your life. You can tell in just 1 minute. Okay. Start off now. Only one of you tell. The other one has to listen. You don't have a passenger. One person tells a memorable or an inspiring experience of your life to your friend. Is it a long story? Long story? Okay. Please stop. Please stop. Finish telling the story? Or you were halfway? Halfway? Okay. Well, now, the person who has been listening, what you have to do is, you think of one person who really inspires you. Think of a person. It could be someone from history. It could be someone from your present life. It could be some leader or anyone who inspires you. You have to tell something about that person to your friend who has just now told you a story. So this is easy, I think, or more difficult. There is a reason why we are doing this, so please try it. Batavia? You've told him? Who inspires you? Okay, just the name you told. Okay. Now, this should not take very long because you just have to tell one name and maybe something about that person. If I say Mother Teresa, okay. what inspires me about her is her sacrifice or dedication or whatever, service. Okay? Very small. Now, you had a small interaction just for a couple of minutes with your partner. From this interaction, are you able to gather at least one positive quality in your partner? Yes? Are you able to gather? Yes? Suppose your partner has said, okay, the person who inspires me is Mother Teresa. So that means you know something about that person who is telling you. If Mother Teresa is inspiring him or her, definitely this person has the value of helping, compassion, very close to heart, right? And your own good experience in life also tells your partner something about you. Some positive quality in you is highlighted. So, when you know something that is positive in your partner or the person who you are working with, does that help to harmonize in relationships? It helps. I remember we did this exercise in our office where there was a very mixed group. Like the boss was also there. The boss was very keen on doing our workshop. And he had asked everybody in the office to join that workshop. It was a workshop on values. And when we did this particular exercise, that boss was sitting with his secretary who had been working for him for the last 30 years. And when I asked them the experience after the exercise, both of them said that they've been working together for 30 years. But today, after this exercise, I feel I know my partner better. Because we may be working together, we may be staying together also, but our relationships are often very, very superficial. You know, when you sit and talk about something very deep, your own life experience with somebody, that makes the qualities of your relationship very deep and very nice. Very strong. So what actually bonds us with other people, what bridges us with other people are these positive qualities, the values of our life. So the more you share your values with others, the stronger your relationships are going to become. You know, sometimes people feel that if you are very good and you are very well behaved and you are trying to make good relationships with others, people tend to take advantage of you. Or they try to take disadvantage of you. But if you are true to your values, if your own personal integrity is so strong, people understand the purity of your motives and they will never try to take advantage. They will never try to do it. But the challenge is, having a strong level of personal integrity in ourselves. That is the challenge. Then people don't try to take disadvantage. Somehow this has got spoiled. There's a very nice idea behind conflict resolution, or we can say building bridges. Now, we were talking about our innate qualities being very positive. But what we have acquired may not be fully positive. It can be a mixture. And definitely it is different. What you have acquired in your life is different from what I have acquired in my life. And so, this is person A. Okay, this is person A. And this is person B. Both of them are innately very pure. As a soul, both of them are very pure, peaceful, loving, very good. But A has acquired certain set of qualities which are in the shape of a square. Is there a pen over? So A has acquired qualities which are in the shape of a square. These are the experiences he has been exposed to. Whereas B has acquired qualities which are in the shape of a triangle. So, will they fit in together? They can't fit together. Now, when A sees B, he doesn't like it. He says, you don't match with me. So, he gives some negative transfer of energy. I don't like you. Because you're so different from me. I don't like you. And because he is giving negative transfer of energy, you know, maybe getting angry or dislike. So B also reacts similarly and he also gives a negative transfer of energy. Yeah, maybe verbally or maybe through actions. So how do you resolve this situation? How do you resolve this problem? Yes? Yes? Tell me. You can tell everybody.
Both A or B or any human being, they are born different and whatever qualities they acquire, they are absolutely different personalities and people. So if you accept that they will be different, there is no conflict at all.
So one thing is acceptance. But because they are so different, they don't like each other. I accept that he is like that, but I don't like him. I accept that I don't like him. You are right. Because when there is acceptance, you know, healing begins. In a relationship, healing starts when there is acceptance. You know, there are many teenagers. This is a very growing problem. Some of the parents bring their teen children to us and they tell us, oh, you tell him, he doesn't listen to us. You please tell our child, because the biggest problem is that he does not tell us the truth. He's lying. So we are not able to correct him because he is not telling us what is the truth. Why do you think a child lies to his parent? Scared. Okay, the same boy who is lying to his parents will go and tell everything about himself to his friend. There he is not hiding anything. But to his parent he cannot tell the truth. Why? Same age group. Because of that, yes? Yes. Parents are judging him, whereas the friend does not judge. He will accept him as he is. So the first thing is acceptance. Okay, I accept you as you are. Then correcting, that is a different thing. But first thing is accepting. The moment that acceptance is not there, there is tendency to tell lies and to hide. So, okay, acceptance is one thing. But let's go deeper. Now, when there is so much difference between the external personalities, acquired ideas, interests, everything is different. Now here, if A is able to see himself in his innate nature, he can also identify with B in his innate nature. So now, the relationship is that the transfer of energy is from the innate self to the innate self of the other. This is going to be positive. But still B does not understand. So B continues to react in the same way. Only externally. Externally conscious. But A continues to interact at the level of innate qualities. He continues, and then finally we find that B also responds in the same way. You know what happens? I think that so and so is like this, I don't like him, so I'm not going to talk to him. Then one day I find that, no, I should change myself. I should have a better relationship with this person, so I will talk to him. So the next time I go in front of him, I say, hello. But that person just turns his head and goes off. I feel very bad. It doesn't matter. Second time I meet him again, I say, hello. So again he turns his head and goes away. I feel bad. Third time again I say, hello. Fourth time, fifth time. Then, sixth time I'm thinking, now next time I meet him, I'm not going to say hello. This is the limit. 5 times I met him, I said hello so nicely. I greeted him and he is not bothered. He's not responding. So next time I'm not going to say hello to him. But the other person is thinking that the next time I meet this person, I'm going to say hello to him. Because 5 times he said hello, but I did not say. It's not good of me to do that. But so next time I'm going to say hello. But the next time when I meet him, I don't say hello. Had I tried this once more, that barrier would have been broken. But patience to go on and on at this level is required. Just a bit of patience. Remember, in relationships, patience, let it be unlimited. Never place limits on your patience. Unlimited patience with people. Because human beings are so valuable. They are so valuable. They are so unreplaceable. Indispensable. Aren't they? Everything else you can replace. Not human beings. So whatever they may do, however they may behave, just remember, let there be unlimited patience. But for this you require a lot of inner strength. So, just to sum up, let us see a few attitudes which are important for harmony in relationships. There's going to be a session on this for you, perhaps the day after tomorrow. Our inner attitudes are the 8 strengths of the soul. If you wish to be strong internally. I talked about strong while holding your fist tight. Many of you were able to get the clue that strength is internal. So, those internal strengthening attitudes to harmonize relationships. You know this, but I'm just going to recapitulate very quickly. The first attitude is the attitude of listening. I'll make this wheel of 8 attitudes required for good relationships. The first attitude is listening. Listening, everybody knows, is more important than speaking in a relationship. Listening not just to words, but listening to that which is unspoken. Listening to the heart. Listening to the underlying feelings. For that you need to have different type of ears. And that is why perhaps we have 2 ears and only 1 mouth to speak with. The other attitude is the attitude of availability. Availability. If I'm listening, I need to be available also. Available, not just physically, but mentally available. These 2 attitudes are the attitudes of good communication. A lot of disharmony in relationship happens merely due to bad communication. Merely. Now, lack of communication is okay, but bad communication is worse. Sometimes a very good idea, badly communicated, makes it a failure. So, listening and availability. The third attitude is tolerance. As I said, let patience be unlimited. Don't place limits to it. Because if you are placing limits, then it's not tolerance. If after tolerating something, you are saying, oh, I have tolerated so much. Is that tolerance? No? You know, I tolerated my mother-in-law so much. You don't know how much I have to tolerate my boss. So is that tolerance? That is majburi. It's not tolerance. Majburi ka naam Mahatma Gandhi. That's right. So, tolerate without limit. And that can happen only when you have so much love. I remember they're listening to a very nice story about one monk who was climbing uphill. And as he was climbing, he felt out of breath. He felt tired. So he decided to take some rest sitting on a rock. And as he was sitting on the rock, he noticed that just behind him, up the hill, there was a little girl, maybe about 12 or 14 years old girl, who was holding a child in her lap, in her arms, and she was literally skipping up the mountain, singing and dancing and so happy. So he was surprised because he himself was quite strongly built, and he was surprised because he was out of breath climbing up the mountain. And this little girl, she was carrying the burden of a child in her arms, and she was skipping and dancing, and there was no sign of any kind of tiredness. So he called the little girl up and he said, "Bachi, tumne bacche ko pakda hai, bhari nahi hai?" And you know what he answered? "Ye bhari nahi hai, mera bhai hai." Bhari nahi hai, bhai, there's a pun on bhari. She didn't find him heavy. There was no feeling of burden because there was love. So tolerance can only be born out of very true, very pure love and affection, which can be there only when there is that spiritual development inside you. There is feelings of physical distances, and that love is finished. With tolerance, there comes the feeling of adjustment. You can adjust in any situation. You can adjust with all kinds of people, because that makes you very flexible. It makes you feel very humble. Humble means you're able to bend when it is necessary. You're able to give in. You're able to match your ideas with others. But then, you should know where to adjust and where to take a strong stand. That discernment has to be very clear. And so the attitude of discernment, discerning, the clarity to know what is right and what is wrong. Just for the sake of trying to make a relationship good, if I'm compromising with my values, if I'm compromising with what I know truly is not right, it's never going to make that relationship strong. Right? So discerning. And that will give us the ability to take good decisions. Taking the correct decisions quickly. Often, in relationships get broken just due to decisions taken in a very angry state of mind. You know, they say that if you have to take any important decision in your life, make sure you are not under the influence of anger, or you are not too tense at that time, or you are not in love. Yes? Why? If you have to take any important decision in your life, make sure you are not emotionally swaying. If you are emotionally swaying, the decision is likely to be wrong. You know, discernment. Discernment is clarity, to know what is right, what is wrong. What should be done, what should not be done. Discrimination power. And decision making you know, when they symbolize decision making with a scale, weighing scale. Yes. So when you take weight on a scale, first you make sure the plumb line is stable. If it is not, then your scale is defective and you're not going to get accurate results. So the plumb line here should be stable. Emotionally, you have to be stable if you have to take good decisions in life, important decisions in life. And so, responsibility will come with good decisions. Responsibility. If you know how to take good decisions in life, you can take responsibility. In any relationship, responsibility is most important. How responsible you are towards the relationship. And to take an important decision, you have to be responsible for it. And all this leads to a very good sense of team spirit, or the attitude of cooperation. Team spirit. Especially if the responsibility is shared, that makes a very good team. Yes. So these are the 8 main attitudes of harmony in relationships. Of course, anyone would say, for a good relationship you need respect and you need trust, things like. But trust and respect. Sorry? I'll come to that. So, when respect and trust, you cannot get by asking for it. No? They talk about winning respect. They talk about commanding respect. Winning the trust. So these are the 8 powerful attitudes which help us to win the respect and trust of our people. To lead them to work in perfect harmony. To be humble when it is required. To be assertive when it is required. So these, you were asking about the intersection. You will see that out of these 8, these 4 are related to our being. And the other 4 are related to our doing. You take care of the being, doing will take care of itself. Because we are human beings, or are we human doings? Who are we? We are human beings. But we focus more on our doings. We forget that the being, that inner being, has to be strengthened so that the doing automatically is reflected. So let us come to the being part. The being part, which is taken care of by meditation, by introspection. Because in order to be able to relate well with others, there has to be time to introspect, to understand ourselves, to be quiet. Okay, do you know, why do people shout at each other when they are angry? Does anyone know? It's impulsive. Loss of temper. Yes, you're right. Any other reason? Why do people shout when they are angry? That person is standing right next to you. And yet you are shouting away. Disagreement. But why do you shout? Dheere bhi to bol sakte ho, na? Aram se bol sakte ho. Ji. You lose patience, okay, yes? Because they don't listen to each other. Why? Something in their ears? Okay. Outburst, yes? okay, you're right. Try to put pressure on the other person so that he listens to you. Okay, this is a very nice and very simple answer, okay? You're all right. But there's a very nice, yes. They shout when they're angry because their hearts are so distant that they can't hear each other. Have you noticed when lovers meet, how do they speak? Do they shout? They are whispering. Why? Why do lovers whisper when they talk? Because, not because nobody else can hear, because their hearts are so close that they can hear each other, no matter how softly they speak. And if you wish to speak to yourself, or if you wish to speak to God, there you need silence, because self and God are the closest, very much closest. So let us come to our inner being, be silent, go deep within the core of our being and explore the sweetness of love and joy and happiness which is there, so that it is available in our relationships. In relationships when I'm asking the other person to give me love, you give me love, you give me respect, you give me care, there is a lot of, you know, problem. But if I'm full of love, then I'm not asking for it, then it is overflowing and I'm sharing, I'm ready to share, ready to give, shower. So where do I get it from? I have a source. It is there, deep within me, it is there, flowing downwards from my supreme parent. Let's try it. You want to try for 2 minutes? Getting back into silence. I'll request you to sit upright. Remember, good relationships is not about holding. It is about letting go. So please let go of anything that you may be holding in your hands, just for a few minutes. Relax. Music. Let your body relax. In silence, I meet with my inner self. I come face to face. This meeting is taking place at the very core of my being. I see my true self, so radiant. So pure. So full of joy. So peaceful. All the acquired experiences are only at the surface. All the turbulences, are only external. Deep within, I see myself so stable, so silent, so balanced. I tell myself, I am peaceful. Child of the ocean of peace. I become a conduit of the divine energy. I'm ready to transmit pure and positive energy to others. In the form of love, patience, kindness and understanding. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you very much and wish you all the best and very happy, successful and peaceful relationships wherever you are. तो आपको भी साथ देना पड़ेगा देंगे तो साथ ओके सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला हो सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला हो दुआओं के दिल में यही सिलसिला हो दुआओं के दिल में यही सिलसिला हो सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला हो सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला हो दुआओं के दिल में यही सिलसिला हो सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला हो पवन में चमन में चैनो अमन हो रहे शांति मन में भुवन यागगन हो पवन में चमन में
पवन में चमन में चैनो अमन हो, रहे शांति मन में गगन या भुवन हो, लगन की सदा ही लगी श्रृंखला हो, लगन की सदा ही लगी श्रृंखला हो, चेहरों पे खुशियाँ और मन खिला हो, चेहरों पे खुशियाँ और मन खिला हो, दुआओं कदम में यही सिलसिला हो, दुआओं कदम में यही सिलसिला हो, सभी हो सुखी और सबका भला।